Some weeks ago, I read an article about Sydney in Australia having unusual rain and how it was affecting them all and depressing them all. And in the article, it referred to misty Singapore and rainy Cardiff. I was quite offended by that reference, just out of the blue. But tonight, I think the journalist was right. It is rainy Cardiff. We've done very well to get here at all this evening. Well, let's turn to the Word of God and Colossians chapter 3. Something similar here to Ephesians, the part we're going through. Colossians 3, verse 18, and just into the first verse of chapter 4. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Well, that passage, I just to choose to represent our message tonight. And sometimes messages are more doctrine than application. Sometimes they a good mix of doctrine and application. The sense here this evening, I feel it is all application, or pretty well all application we have here. I want to speak about the Christian in different locations. And in some ways it's connected to our series in Ephesians and the part we are going through at the moment. We've looked at marriage and parents and still to consider the workplace. And all being well, I would hope to continue in our series soon. Now, coming back to this matter of Christians in different locations. We carry the name of Christ wherever we go. Indeed, we carry Christ wherever we go. And we wish to be consistent in all places. There is an expression amongst men, an angel abroad and a devil at home, or a saint abroad and a devil at home. Of course, such things should never be in the Christian. Now, of course, naturally, we might have a different size of our character, in different situations, not being inconsistent, but just a natural difference. My mother, years ago, I used to listen to her different voices on the phone, and you may not know what the GCU is, Girls Crusaders Union. They're not around anymore, but many of them were wonderful ladies from the south of England or somewhere like that. And my mother would put on a posh English accent. You just knew it was a GCU. But then if a sister phoned from Llanelli, what a different voice. Totally different. And we are like that, aren't we? You know, we adapt to the person we're speaking to and the circumstances. And that's natural enough. But I'm sure you would agree with me. We need to be Christians in all situations, all locations. I want to mention these locations, and there are more, of course. The Christian at home, the Christian at the workplace, the Christian on his own, the Christian out and about, the Christian on holidays, the Christian when relaxing, the Christian when housebound, the Christian in the valley, and the Christian on the mountain, the Christian on his knees, the Christian in the church, and the Christian in heaven. Well, the Christian at home, first of all. Now, there is some truth to the thought. What a man really is, he is at home behind closed doors. Now, whether single or married, whether living with family or living alone, the home should be a clean place. If living with family or with others, the home should be a kind place. These are classic Christian characteristics. Of course, at times, it will be tested. But if we are Christians, we shall be Christians in our homes. And it is one of the dominant places of our lives. The workplace and home represents so many hours of the day. And for sure, we must be Christians in our homes. And then the Christian in the workplace. Here's another kind of test where we work with others, often unbelievers. And here comes in principles of honesty are at stake. Also matters of handling personal ambition and progress, and how we show that as Christians in that kind of competitive environment. And it can be a challenge. And all I would say here is this, looking back to my days as an architect, I wish I could go back and do it again with what I feel now and know now. And I'm sure perhaps you feel the same, maybe. And moving on to the Christian on his own. Now, I suppose every category here we have is a challenge. And once again, here's a key location to be Christian. Here, we will hope to find a Bible, of course, a place of prayer. All these things are essential and good books. But more than that, absence of what is unworthy and unclean. And key to this matter is what he reads and watches, and even deeper than that, what he thinks. Those of you who were under my father's ministry will know that he often said, what you think is what you are. It reveals what makes you tick, and what fills your mind is what you are. And of course, we must be Christian in our thoughts, and from there in all other things, and when on our own. We must sanctify our private environment and be truly Christian there at the base of when we are alone. Of course, we're not alone, really. We are with the Lord, and his eye is upon us. But it would appear that we are alone, and it's all private, and nobody sees. Of course, the Lord does see. But to be Christian in that place. And then the Christian, out and about. Now, in some ways, you could say, we possibly could be at our best here. As the saying goes, an angel abroad, a devil at home. So when we are abroad or out and about, we might be at our best. But maybe, if not known in some location, it may be that you don't care, or you think that nobody's watching you, and you are at your worst even. But come back to that matter of when we're out and about and people know us. Let me just say this. It should not be a show or a performance. It must be genuine Christian behavior and Christian motives. We must be thoroughly and deeply Christian. What an abhorrence is a show or performance. It's not what we are about. We must be Christian to the core. And when we're out and about, of course we must be Christian there and do it from genuine and true motives. But what about those places when we are not known? You know, so thorough should be our Christianity and our faith and our character. Anybody who comes across our path, even if we don't have a chance to witness or tell them that we are Christians, and very often that's the case, we are Christian to them. We might never see them again, but we are always Christian. Every person we meet. Now, of course, we might be seen by somebody who knows us. We don't know that. Very often is the case that you think you are somewhere and nobody knows you, but often people do know you. And that might be important to them to come to know the Lord in due course. It might be that link in the chain, and they saw you, and they saw your kindness, and they marked it, and went on with their lives until eventually they come to the Lord. Well, all these things are important, but we do it anyway, because we are Christian. We're Christian all our days, every minute, every location. And that is true Christianity. It's not a performance, it's not something we put on, it's something to do with who we are. And then the Christian on holidays. Now, this poses a challenge all of its own, because we are out of routine. You see, at home, we have a routine we've worked on and we've built up over the years, times to be with the Lord. But when on holiday, of course, the time scale goes out of the window. We often like not watching the clock when we are on holiday, but there are dangers in that too. We can end up being out of shape and lose that discipline that we so need. And the dangers around us, because it's still the world, and there are dangers around us, things which can corrupt us. But more than that, the holidays hopefully would be an opportunity to be more with him and read good things. Related to holidays would be the Christian when relaxing. It's worth a mention all of his own. Now, of course, it's necessary and good to relax, although in our day and age, we probably overdo it. Even so, we are frail, and we are weak and finite, and we need rest for sure. But there are dangers at such times of relaxing. The devil knows it. It is very often his opportunity. It's a sense when you relax too much, and you are off guard at such times, and drop your guard. And maybe that you go just not in any apparently wrong way, but you venture a bit more into the matters of the world, which might be innocent at first, but of course it is the world, and it can catch you. And at those times, we can fall. It's a danger when we relax. It's a sense with a Christian. He's a Christian soldier. He's never off duty. Even when he's relaxing, he's there with the sword by his side, so to speak. And like Gideon's army, we always have to be on guard. We are in hostile territory, and we have to watch. The devil is about. We might be relaxing, but the devil is not. And then, change of tack now, maybe. The Christian when housebound. The Christian can find himself with sickness or with old age, increasingly housebound. Now, no doubt this is a major challenge and a big change to a person's circumstances. Can be a bigger challenge to some more than others. To some extent, we had a taste of this in the pandemic. Now, with old age, what happens is this: the world gets increasingly smaller, doesn't it? You go from a situation, you drive about and even go abroad, you don't go abroad, still drive about, then you don't drive about, and you depend on lifts, and then you can't leave the house, then you can't leave the room very much and can't get about the house very easily. Your world gets smaller. And, of course, the connections and the fellowship and the sense of family and community and so on, all these things get more limited. And it is a challenge. With sickness, it can be the same. But perhaps when you are in your prime, that can be a very hard thing. Now, that's missionary Amy Carmichael, in many ways, showed us the way, that dear lady, when she was injured and was so active and then was really limited to a room and a bed. And she showed, really, that we see it as a providence and a change of circumstances of the Lord. We adjust and we accept. And that well-known expression, "In acceptance lieth peace," comes from her, of course. And then, on a similar theme, the trials of life, the difficulties of life, the Christian in the valley, and many types of hardships and trial. It can be a hard trial, can be a severe sadness. Can be also things like the Christian in the courtroom, or prison even. Just think of those situations which have been true for the Lord's people so many times through the ages and still true today. It can be depression of some kind, which can be very significant matter in somebody's life. There are many, many valleys. Now, each one of these deserves to be singled out. But this evening, we shall see them as one, as a dark experience, a dark place. And we are to be Christians in this dark place. It's very hard to be Christian in the valley, but we trust by God's grace we shall have victory here. And it might be a place where we trust. And trust is a precious thing, faith. And it's difficult to get faith to grow when all things are well. But when tested, faith does increase. And faith in God. And what a great victory is that if we become men and women of faith, but also submission as well and prayer. All these things are great graces and fruits which prosper in the valley. But more than that, it's a place where God draws near. Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What a description that is. And the valley can be like death, the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Can be through circumstances, can even be a hellish attack from the devil upon you. And it's like the valley of the shadow of death. It's like some kind of nightmare in your mind and in your heart. But these words say to us, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we have the Almighty. We have the Shepherd who is with us. But then also the Christian on the mountain, great contrast with the valley. But there are times of blessing. We are taken up sometimes. We trust many times into the heavenlies. And we know his nearness and simply blessed. What of this place? Well, I mention it to be thorough. We are to be Christian in those places. We should be humbled by that experience if it's a true experience. But we enjoy and we don't want to grieve the Spirit. And all those things come into play. But this also, to be careful. Because be sure of this, the devil will come at you. I've always found when there is an encouragement and a blessing, and we take one step forward, it seems we are knocked back two steps by the devil. The devil will come at you, and to pray for protection, be mindful to call upon the name of the Lord to keep you after you come down from the mountain, so to speak, because these experiences, we don't stay on the mountains all the time. Life's not like that. Heaven is like that. But not life. But we do thank God for these mountains, like the many mountains of the Bible. I trust we have many mountains in the story of our lives, those moments where we are lifted up. Well, in a way, you could say it's the easiest place to be Christian. Well, not really. It's a holy place, and a place where we must be careful not to sin against God and sin in holy things, and we must be truly godly in those times too. And then the Christian on his knees. The Christian has some place he's chosen, and some time maybe he's chosen, where he bends the knee and prays to the Lord. Now, so much could be said of this place. It's certainly a foundation of the Christian life. So many of these things you could say, well, it starts here. And here we can also say, it starts here. This is the foundation. Again, we could say, this is really what we are when we pray alone to the Lord. It's a measure of our spirituality. Not how we pray in the prayer meeting, although we must. But the measure of our praying is our private prayer, of course, is what we really are. Let me just say two things quickly about this place, the Christian on his knees. It is a practical place where we bring our requests before the Lord because we are invited to do so. But also, it's a place which is everywhere because we are to pray always, both on our knees and on our feet. And this is an important part of the Christian life. If we don't pray always, then we are in danger or we shall struggle. Here's one of the secrets of a victorious Christian life is to pray always. It doesn't mean it's plain sailing, but it means in whatever situation you find yourself, the Lord is just a glance away, a prayer away. You're at his side. You were already praying, and you continue to bring that matter before him. But also with this place, this location, it's the place you find him. There was a pastor known to us. I won't name him now, but I could, but I won't, who said in private conversation that he would stay on his knees until he broke through to the Lord. That is, very often we can pray and just get up because our time is up. His practice was this, and a good practice. He would not get up until he had broken through. And of course, this place of prayer is a place to find him, a place of communion, and in the language of recent weeks, it's a place of supping, of dining with Christ. If I can add to this location of where we bow the knee and when we pray, without making a new heading, it's the place of the word as well. It's the same place. And here the Christian will open the word with worship, desire, and submission. There's a spirit to the Christian with the word of God. Well, there should be, shouldn't there? That we open the word and it has an effect upon us. We are in his presence. It's the word of God, the infallible word of God. We come to it hungry and thirsty. We come to it submitting to his authority. And a hush and a quietness comes over the heart of the Christian when he opens the word. There's also a place of communion and supping. We find him here in the word. How many times a phrase of scripture comes out, leaps out and grips your heart? That is a communion and that relationship with the Lord. These not some of the most hallowed moments when in the word and also in prayer, private and intimate, and when God is near. Such a strange thing that we know this is one of the most blessed spots and locations in the whole world, and yet we are on the whole slow to come to these places. It speaks of the battle, of course. The devil knows these are the best spots, and he will play in your mind and your heart and slow you down, and you'll find yourself dragging your heels or being distracted or whatever it might be, or just that sense of being opposed and feeling downhearted and discouraged and depressed in your spirit and not able or motivated to come before the Lord. All this is the battle. It is the devil trying to stop you to open the word and to bow the knee. And the Christian in the church. Now, a Christian might be on his best behavior in the church, but of course that will be tested in the church. But can I just say this again, similar to what I said earlier about this best behavior? We should be much better than our best behavior. We must be genuine. There must be honesty and integrity. Best behavior is not good enough. The stuff of the Pharisees, anyway. We are genuine, honest, and men and women of integrity. But also in the church, we trust also grace and love and truth and all the graces of Jesus Christ. All those things will come from our hearts. And when we fellowship with the Lord's people and when we worship in the house of God. Of course, though, we are shoulder to shoulder with the saints. And you speak of where we spend our hours with the workplace, of course, and we spend our hours at home, but also in the church. It's not always unity. There are times of testing. Now, my dear friend, at these times of testing, and maybe most especially at these times of testing, we must be Christian. You know, there are times in your life, crossroads, key moments, we are to be Christian at that time and not fail at that crucial time when the test comes, not to fail it. We must be Christian at that time. And it is such an important location to be Christian in the church. But of course, the church should the Christian is home. He's at home. Heaven is his home, but it's the beginning of his home, the church. And the devil knows this too, and he knows the location of the church. He marks all the evangelical and reformed churches of the land, and they are his targets. And he comes with his tanks and battalions and surrounds us, enters in, causes disruption. He knows this location, how important it is. He knows the history of these places, how revival breaks out, blessing. God visits, revival. God's people are revived, divine visitations. He knows the history of these places. And the devil will do all he can to isolate you and to say to you, you don't belong. I don't know how many times I've said this. I don't know how many times people say to me, oh, I feel I don't belong. And I can only say it again. That is the devil. It's a hallmark of the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. He is an animal of prey. And he'll try to isolate you from the flock and pick you off. It is his behavior pattern. And he'll do all he can to isolate you and say to you, you don't belong. He plays in our feelings and our sensitivities. You don't belong. People don't like you. And you have no friends. And they look down upon you and so on, and whatever the devil might say, whatever it might be. And all kinds of ways he gets to us in this thing. And you must understand, it's not true. Everybody is sensitive, and everybody has these issues and struggles in life. And we must be strong in the Lord, and know the tricks of the devil, and know the truths of the Lord, and to understand ourselves. That's a big part of the battle, and understand God's people. And we are very similar in these things. And we are to encourage each other and to help each other. And part of that, of course, is our role in the church. Knowing the devil is saying this and whispering these things all the time to people in the congregation, in any given service, you could say the devil's whispering to 5 or 6 people these things. And to be alert of that and go round to them and say to them, you are a brother, sister in Christ. And we love you, and to undo the damage of the devil. But just think about this place of the church, what it can be to the Christian. It's a place to be faithful and loyal. It's a place to pray as one man. It's a place to hear the word. It's a place to sing to his praises. It's a place to share the gospel with those who come. It's a place to fellowship with those who are brothers and sisters who have Christ in their hearts. It's a place to help people in all kinds of ways. But above all, it's a place to glorify him, glorify God. What a place it is. What a location. Oh, let us be Christian in this place. And then lastly, the Christian in heaven. Well, there's only one place for us to mention where there's no trouble, challenge, and trial, and this is it. Thank God. Thank God, my friends. This is it. In this world of woe and difficulties and troubles, we are heading for the place of no troubles. It's the best of places. It's the best of places because he is there, our blessed Savior and Redeemer and Almighty God. Just think of this place. We shall be happy. Now, I could add adjectives, descriptions to these words, but let these words truly in their purity and in their thoroughness speak to your heart. We shall be happy. We shall be holy. and we shall be glorified, and all forever. We shall be alive. We shall be in the marvelous light. We shall be in his love, and all forever. And, of course, above all these things, we shall see him face to face. My dear friends, we shall see him. We shall see him. The one who died for me and took away my sins on the cross of Calvary. The one who came to me in the valleys of this world. The one who drew near to me to encourage my heart and lift me up. The one who answered my prayers when I called to him. The faithful one and the glorious one. We shall be with him and see him face to face. There's something very special about face to face. It's eye to eye. There is a moment, isn't there? When you look at somebody eye to eye, and maybe a member of the family or whatever it may be, there's something most intimate, most exalted about it. And Christ will look into your eye, and you will look to his eye. Well, think of these locations. The Christian at home, the Christian at the workplace, the Christian on his own, the Christian out and about, the Christian on holidays, the Christian when relaxing, the Christian when housebound, the Christian in the valley, the Christian on the mountain, the Christian on his knees with the word, the Christian in the church, and the Christian in heaven. But especially those locations of this world where we shall be challenged, all those really, except the last one, of heaven and glory, we must be Christian in them all. Should we be Christian in them all? Can it be like a checklist or a menu, and I maybe get 9 out of 10? Well, I mentioned 12 minus heaven, it was 11, and we get 9 out of 11 or something like that? No. Most certainly, we must be thoroughly and deeply Christian in all of them. There's no doubt about it. I'm not being hard upon you here. That is what it is to be Christian. And you see, it's the only way. Otherwise, if you are amiss in any one of those locations, there's a shadow over your life. And it does bring into question some other locations as well, doesn't it? No, we are Christian through and through. And we must be Christian in all locations. Well, my dear friends, let us be Christian. Truly, truly Christian, and glorify him. I finish with these words. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart, from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave, to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. And those last lines really need to be added to what we said tonight. Yes, we are to be Christian, but may they forget the channel, seeing only him. And in the end, that is what it is to be Christian, that we exalt Christ and we die to self and lift him up. Well, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we ask, O Lord, for thy help in all these departments, locations of life. And Lord, where we struggle, oh, let there be sanctification, let there be consecration, let there be victory, O Lord, let the power of Jesus Christ just flood our lives in all these places. Let us give no excuse to ourselves. but rather be inspired by the very change which has taken place in our hearts, that we carry Christ in our hearts always. And indeed, let Christ reign, and let Christ be shown. Hear our prayers now to the glory of God. Amen.